Let me invite you to take your Bible and open to Exodus chapter 20. Boy, I'm really glad that you're here this morning, and I hope that you've come ready to learn. Got a great group in here this morning. It's been filled my heart by worshiping together and praying these songs of prayers to God, worshiping our God together. Exodus chapter 20. We're in the middle of a series that we began about a month ago on the Ten Commandments, and we're calling it 10 Foolish Things People Do to Mess Up Their Lives. I don't know, don't raise your hand on this, but how many of you have ever made a mistake? Probably a few of us here made some mistakes in our lives, and some of us have made some major mistakes, some things that you can look back on and see as huge hurdles in your life. I don't know what kind of mistakes that you have down in your history and your past, but I would predict that if you look at the core of almost any of the major mistakes in your life, you're going to find that somewhere along the way there's a violation of these Ten Commandments. When we're talking about the Ten Commandments, the reason we brought it up in this place is they really are sort of God's foundational plan for how to live in the world that he's created. They're instructions for us. And so at the very foundation, these 10 things seem to touch on almost every sort of foundational issues that we have in life. And so we're just trying to take some time this year and walk down through these 10 commandments, make sure that we're clear about what they say, what they mean, how they apply. They were written specifically to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. So how do they apply to us today? And so we're trying to just walk our way down through some of those and find the big principles that I think the scriptures teach us. And we've been trying to memorize them together. So if you've not caught up with us already, we're not too far in front of you. We're only on the second commandment as far as memorization. We're going to add the third one to it here this morning. But I'd like to keep trying to recite them together each time. And by the time we get down to 8, 9, and 10, you may have them all together. So we're going to do that again this morning. If you'd join in with me, if you would. If you'd quote with me, commandment number one says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Let's try that one more time. Commandment one says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Okay, much better. Commandment number two is, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." All right, we'll stop there. You can go ahead and memorize the whole thing if you'd like, but we're going to just take the first part of each of them. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." And then commandment number three is found in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 20. And it says this, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." So foolish thing number three is this. It is treating God's name carelessly. Treating God's name carelessly. Names are important to us. Parents know this because it's hard to pick out names. I mean, in fact, my theory is that's why pregnancy lasts 9 months. Because it takes that long for mom and dad to come to an agreement on what the name should be. At least that's how it was, you know, for Faith and I. You want to come up with the right name, and then all of a sudden this child pops out, and you're not sure that the face fits with the name that you've, you know, kind of decided before. But let me tell you why names are so hard. When Faith and I were picking out names, she had a couple of names that she absolutely loved, and I absolutely didn't love. And then I had a couple of names that I thought would be, you know, just perfect, and Faith just wasn't very excited about them at all. Does anybody know why I didn't like certain names that she would bring up? If you think about it, anybody know why that might be? Yeah, because I knew somebody. Usually from my childhood, who had that name. And so as soon as, Faith brought up a certain name, my brain immediately connected that name with a person, with a personality. If I like that person, then I feel good about that name. If that person was sort of a childhood nemesis for me, then I didn't feel as good about it. And we're all sort of wired that way as well. Some of the names that I brought up names, honestly, that were sometimes connected with really positive things for me, and yet Faith maybe saw that in a different way. We connect names not just with, a generic identification of somebody, but we connect them oftentimes with people and with personalities, and even emotions. So how we feel about a specific person then connects together with whatever that name might be. I mean, we all do this to a certain extent. I don't know one person named Jezebel. I don't know if any of you do. Maybe you do. Maybe there's somebody here that's your name. I'm sorry about that this morning. But not very often do parents name their children Jezebel. I don't know anybody that has. Why? Because the name in the Bible has a very specific connotation. It's not positive. And so it's unlikely that many people would use that name. So we associate names with feelings and personalities. It's more than just kind of a means of identifying someone. Names often convey information about our family, about our social status, sometimes even about our religious background. Well, this morning, commandment number 3 brings us to God's name. And I want to talk with you very pointedly about restoring reverence to God's name. Restoring reverence to God's name. I want to talk to you young people that are here this morning. Man, I'm so glad that you're here. Every time that you're here in this group, I'm telling you, we are just honored by that. You're hearing from God. I hope that you're seeing the priority of being around, believers as such a significant part of your life formation. I'm so glad that you're here. This morning in particular, I want to talk with you, and I've been asking that God would burn into your hearts this morning that his name is holy. And it is a serious thing to use God's name in a careless way. I want to speak to adults here. Some of you have struggled with your speech. And I want to challenge you this morning about the importance of the words that we use, and particularly of the purity of our speech, and specifically in reference to the reverence for God's name. I want to encourage you, challenge you this morning about that. I don't remember hearing a lot of profanity and cursing when I was very young. In my toddler years up through my early grade school years, I don't remember hearing a lot of swearing or cursing. When I was in fourth grade, we moved to California, moved to San Francisco. I started at a new school in fourth grade, and I started to ride the bus. When I began in a new school, a Christian school, but it was an open enrollment school, so there'd be, students there, not nearly all of them Christian, just a broad variety of students there. And then riding that bus, I began to learn or hear a whole new vocabulary than I had ever been exposed to before. I remember that we started getting on this bus. I was in fourth grade, so my younger sister would have rode with me, and she was in second grade or first grade. I can't remember if she's 2 or 3 years younger than me. But then, we'd go together. We'd get on the bus to ride to our elementary school, which is in the heart of San Francisco, a few miles away, and we pick up kids along the way. But we sat, our assigned seat was the second to last bench on the bus. And directly behind us were 2 other boys. Peter Gomez was a big sixth grader, and then his sidekick, Jorge. And so Peter and Jorge sat together behind us. And I liked Peter and Jorge, and they liked me, and we talked the whole time. But I learned a whole new vocabulary from Peter and Jorge through the course of those rides. And I remember getting off the bus, those first couple times with my ears burning. Like I'd heard a bunch of stuff that I hadn't heard before. And actually, I would tell you this. I want to kind of move towards this. And also my little heart, fourth grade heart, was grieving by the things that I just heard, and it felt like sort of an onslaught, you know, onto my senses. Well, guess what? Unfortunately, like a lot of you, over the next few years of my life, I came to find out that I was going to find myself in a lot of situations where profanity was very common. Sometimes outrageous. Some of you here are surrounded by strong and rough language every day of your life. Your work situation, might be your school situation, sometimes your family situation. You just grew up in a home, in a family where language, rough language, coarse language was as common as, you know, as every sentence. And what happens is that it's easy for our ears to get numb to it. And over time, it just becomes so common that we begin to think, well, it's really not that bad. It's not that big a deal. I mean, they're just words. And in fact, they come at us so often and so much that we're overwhelmed by it. And they just become sort of the fabric of conversation. Certain things are said that maybe to somebody else would have been a little bit of a shock, but to you, it's such a common part of the language that you don't even hardly notice that that word was used or how it was used. But one of the things that the Ten Commandments does is that it puts a big stop sign in front of us this morning, and it tells us that actually, profanity is worse than you think. It's not that, it's really not that bad because we've been overwhelmed. That actually, the third commandment says, no, actually, this might even be a bigger deal than you might think. So let's look closely at this third commandment. And I want to just lay out for you what it says here this morning and see if there are some steps that we can take about restoring reverence to God's name. Restoring reverence in our own personal lives and our own personal language and our own personal vocabulary, but maybe even by God's grace in some of the contexts with which we live. And I get it, I understand as I was studying and thinking this week, I was thinking about this idea that for some of you here, this conversation is gonna be like, I mean, it's just cursing, swearing, God's name has just never been an issue for you. You haven't even probably been in a lot of situations where you've heard, you know, language. And for you, you might be, you know, kind of listening this morning like, wow, I don't know how this applies. And I just want to tell you this. I want to ask you to please be patient, because in this room, there are a number of people who this is an everyday battle for them. Where the conversations that they're surrounded with are you know, immensely difficult. And so I'd ask everybody here to kind of think carefully. What does God say, and really what does God call us to here in this area? So let's read again what the Bible says, verse 7, and then we'll talk down through it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. To take in vain is a phrase that means to use God's name in a careless or a flippant manner. In a careless or a flippant manner. Vanity means nothingness, or it means trivial. So to take God's name in vain means that it has been treated lightly. It's not taken seriously. I want to try to give you a couple of commitment points as we talk about this. And we're really answering this question. How do I avoid messing up my life by treating God's name carelessly? All right, that's sort of the commitments. How can I avoid that? Or maybe if we could say it positively, how do I help restore reverence to God's name? Especially in a world where it seems like nobody else really cares about that. What could I do? So let me give you three things, three personal commitments that you can make. Here's number one, commitment number one. I will not misuse God's name with my lips. Every Christian ought to make this commitment. If you're a Christian saying that I am, as if God would help me, I am never going to use God's name disrespectfully. For some of you, this is so simple. You are not really tempted in this way. You've rarely in your whole life gotten upset with something and had the idea of a curse word to come out. For some of you, this might not mean anything. For a lot of others here, I understand this is a major hurdle. I want to tell you this morning that God's name is important to him. It is expected to be treated with honor. The Hebrew people understood this. In fact, they do so today. They considered God's name so holy that they didn't even verbalize it. In fact, we've talked about this quite a bit. It kind of keeps coming up in some context over the last few months. But we've talked about this term Jehovah, this Jehovah name. And we've said this idea that we don't actually know exactly how to pronounce the title, the name for God, Jehovah, because in the Hebrew language, it was never expressed. It was never verbalized. And so it's likely that it's pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah. We don't know exactly true because the Hebrew people so much cared for the holiness of the name that they didn't even want to verbalize it. They didn't even want to communicate it. But listen to this, verse 7, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's the reason. The Hebrews didn't speak the name because they believed God's word. They believed the commandment. They believed that the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. So I want to make sure that we understand that this is not a trivial matter. It's not just an insignificant idea. God's name is important to him, and it's expected to be treated with honor. And if you ignore this warning, there are consequences. That's what the command says. God is listening, and every time you use his name in a careless or a derogatory way, his ears burn. God hears this. You say, well, why is this such a big deal? And the answer to that is that the name of God cuts right to the character of God. I mean, God's name means something. And when we flippantly throw about his name, when we carelessly sort of talk about the big guy upstairs, when we curse and we use God's name as an excuse for our frustration, and you're like, man, well, I didn't really mean anything by it. It's just the words that came out. I mean, you can't imagine the family language that I grew up in. If you'd heard what my family sounded like when I was growing up. It's almost like I can't help it. These words are just so embedded in kind of my thought processes. Some of you guys, some of you ladies are in the military. Believe me, I know, I get it. That language can be rough. And some of you, man, every day you are just bombarded with you know, with language that's very, very rough. Some of you, the crowd that you hung out with when you were younger, or maybe even now. I mentioned already, you high school kids, man, I'm burdened for you. There's something about youth where it feels like the stronger the language for some kids, the cooler you are. And high school kids and junior high kids and even younger. I mean, I talked about, you know, fourth grade. I know many kids are exposed way younger than that. So the battle is very real. Young people, I'm telling you, I get it. I understand. It's such a part of the cultures often that we grow up in. It's such a part of the language that it almost feels like it's so natural. I want to ask you to turn back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I want to read a couple verses together that I think will help us. We're going to pick up in the middle of a little bit of a context. The paragraph actually starts in verse 31. Jesus is speaking, but I want to read beginning in verse 34. It says this, "O generation of vipers, O generation of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" But then these words, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What comes out of our mouth is always out of the abundance of our heart. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." I'm not trying to be harsh here, but I want to tell you what Jesus said. That is, if we've got evil things coming out of our mouth, they are not coming out of a pure place. Verse 36, "But I say unto you," listen to this, "that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Hey, listen, I want to bring you face to face with the truth of the scripture on the matter of our language. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about it in church, because the reality is there's going to be a day when every one of us is going to stand before God and we will give an account of every idle word. That means not just the words that you thought about carefully and you said, "I want these on my record." These are the words that you did not think about carefully, that they just came out when you're angry or when you're upset or when you're frustrated or you smash your finger with the hammer. But I don't want any of us to get to heaven and find out that we're going to give an account of every idle word and they're like, "Hey, I didn't even know that." See, what Jesus says is, well, these words, the reason they're so important is because they're coming from the treasure of your heart. Let me give you four things that you ought to think about so that you would not misuse God's name with your lips. I'm just going to sort of list these four things and give you a chance to think about them. Number one, reject profanity. Blurting out God's name as an exclamation or an expression of surprise or impatience, that's a bad idea. And if you have that habit, I want to encourage you to get serious about getting rid of it. And it might be hard. It might be a lifetime habit. I understand. And I want to bring that before you. Young people, I want to tell you again, it is not okay. I don't care how much you have heard it and from whom you have heard it. It is never okay to use God's name in this form of disrespectful way. So number one, reject profanity. Number two, I want to ask you to think again about minced oaths. Now, it's something that you're going to have to think about, and it might be, you know, totally a total new concept to you, and I just wanted to ask you to think about it. I want to bring it in front of you. Do you know what a minced oath is? I've got a couple of definitions again. I just looked them up, Googled them. Exactly. You can find the same exact definitions online. But a minced oath is an oath altered to milder or less obvious form. So you're like, well, what's an oath? Let's make sure we define that. An oath is the irreverent or profane use of the name of God or of a sacred thing to express anger or to emphasize a statement. It's a swear word or a curse. Okay, so an oath is a swear word or a curse. It is the irreverent or profane use of the name of God or some kind of other sacred thing. An oath is using that sacred term as an exclamation of some sort, surprise, swear word, curse communication. Well, a minced oath is the taking of that term and it's altering it to a milder or a less obvious form. So any word where you take God or Jesus or any other normally considered holy word and you change it by, you know, adjusting some of the words, some of the letters on it. You adjust the ending. And I don't need to give you the examples. You can probably figure them out. And they're sort of considered, you know, harmless exclamations. You're not actually saying the word. In fact, you probably never even thought about it. It's just a form of the word so that you don't have to say the whole word. I don't know. I guess I'd like to ask. I mean, this is between you and God. This is not me to judge you or make any decisions for you. I'm just saying, if our calling is to give reverence to God's name, doesn't it feel a little bit, at least to me it does, a little bit insincere to take that same name and shorten it and add a little different ending to it so therefore I can use it? It doesn't seem a lot more respectful, does it? You say, well, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's just words. I smashed my finger. What do you want me to say? Well, I don't know. You're going to have to decide what's okay for you to say. I just want to bring you before the scriptures to say, if I were you, I'd want to encourage you, don't use God's name. Don't use a form of his name. And why would you want to anyway? Why do we use the sacred thing to sort of be our exclamation? So number one is reject profanity. Number two, think again about minced oaths. Number three, keep your vows. Actually, this is part of the oath word. When you stood before that for the church and you promised before God that you would love and honor and cherish till death do you part, part of that vow was, you might not have even remembered this, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the vows. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I promise to do this. So listen, don't take God's name carelessly. The Old Testament, and some in the New Testament, the Old Testament is filled with references to vows before God. And the Bible gives us very distinct warnings not to enter into them hastily. Don't be too quick to enter in a vow that you make before God, before the name of God. I swear to God, or as God is my witness, or any other form where we're sort of like sealing the promise with kind of a swearing to God's name. I think we ought to be very careful that we don't do these things carelessly. And when we do make these vows, which we do, you do when you stand before a court. When we do make these vows, we ought to make sure that we keep the vows that we make. And then number four, be cautious of insincere, thoughtless, and irreverent uses of God's name. And I just throw out some examples for you. You know, when you say, OMG, oh my God, it sure seems like it fits in this category of careless references to God's name. You'll have to think through it on your own. So that's commitment number one. I'd ask you to think through that I will not misuse God's name with my lips. Number two, I will not condone the misuse of God's name in my presence. If we really understand how much God's name and God's reputation means to him, not only will it affect our speech, but I think it'll affect what we're willing to expose our ears to. I understand that there's some circumstances where you really cannot get away from profanity. I know many of you are in work situations, military situations, you know, work group situations. And that's maybe another conversation that needs to be addressed. And that's not really what I'm talking about. There are an awful lot of situations, though, where as Christians, we have no compulsion to subject our ears and our hearts to the barrage of language that we allow to come into our ears, but we choose not to do anything about it anyway. We don't turn off the TV when it's full of profaning of God's name. In fact, often we don't even hear it anymore. God's name can be used incredibly disrespectfully, and it just kind of goes right past. It's so common to us. We don't change the channel. We don't go somewhere else when the language of the group around us is becoming, you know, pretty disrespectful and irreverent, and we have options to be able to step out of the group. We don't leave. We don't even think about it anymore. But you know, most of us would never stand for someone using the name of someone in our family in a demeaning way. I mean, if you're hanging around with a group and they started talking about your wife, you know, disrespectfully, I don't think you just stand there and let that happen. I only got in a couple of fights when I was a kid. Actually, they really were mostly scuffles. But when I was in fifth grade, I've been thinking about my childhood, so I got a couple of illustrations for you. But when I was in fifth grade, there was another boy in the classroom, and he and I, we were going to come to it at some point. You know how that is. It was just kind of some friction that was taking place. And so this certain day, we were out at recess. And I don't know what's happened. I think we're playing basketball and something happened. And in response to whatever happened, he said, "Your mama," and, you know, kind of filled that in. And I hit him. And, and you know, I'm fifth grade. I'm all tough. You know, I could talk about my mama like that, right? And the recess supervisor came and grabbed us by the collar and, you know, marched us up to the principal's office, Mr. McLeod. I still remember. We had to go talk to Mr. McLeod. And I can still picture standing in front of Mr. McLeod, and I was still pretty hot, you know, and my little fifth grade lip was trembling. And I said to Mr. McLeod that he called my mama, you know, and that nobody's ever going to talk about my mama. You know, I'm so tough, right? I mean, it's kind of silly, right? But it's true. We don't let people talk about our family disrespectfully. And I'd hope that, you know, as we get older, we'd handle things a little bit more maturely than I did when I was a fifth grader. But, you know, we stand in conversations with people speaking about our God in incredibly disrespectful terms, and we just don't do anything about it. I'm not suggesting you haul off and hit anybody. I mean, I don't think that's what God's calling you to do. But it might be that we need to, you know, remove ourselves from that situation. And you can do it without, you can just say, "Hey, listen, this is my God that we're talking about. I'm gonna head over here." I don't know if there's many people out there there's enough people out there that have stood up for God's name. That's the reason we're in the situation that we're in. Right? I mean, what if Christians over the last 30, 40 years had enough courage to turn it off when, you know, the languages were disrespectful. We weren't going to listen to that radio station or that, you know, podcast or that, because no, this is not something that I need to subject my ears to. And these are my friends, but listen, if this conversation is going to be so disrespectful to my God, and again, I think your friends probably are completely oblivious to it. That's actually the point. Nobody's had the courage to step into their life and say, hey, listen, this is my God. This is the one who gave up his life for me. He sent his son to die for me. It just sure seems like there ought to be ways that Christians would say, I'm just not going to allow the misuse of God's name to continue without me either saying something or at least removing myself. You know, the key to this whole thing, though, is understanding, really understanding how important and holy God's name is. Commitment number three is this: I will not misrepresent God's name with my life. I will not misrepresent God's name with my life. And I want to, if you're writing notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Star it. If not, just put this in mental notes. But your character affects God's credibility. So you can stand up for God's name, and you should. I'm encouraging you to do so. But I want you to know that your character affects God's credibility in his name even more significantly than some words that you might say. If you're a Christian, you have been called by Christ's name. Everything that you do reflects on his character. The terms that we use, we're the people of God. We're the family of God. We're the children of God. We're Christians. We're viewed as little Christ. So our character, the way that we act, is exactly what we're doing to represent God's name. And one of our commitments has to be, I will not misrepresent God's name with my life. You can have the cleanest mouth in the world. You can turn the TV off every time somebody uses a foul word. But if your character is a poor reflection of God, then you have misrepresented him before everybody that knows you. So God's name is a powerful, important, holy term, and we ought to use it and protect it with care. Well, here's commandment number three, you guys. Right after, number one, no idols. Number two, the importance of worship. Here's number three, don't misuse God's name. You better believe that it's important. When you misuse God's name, you are offending the creator of the universe, and he cares about it. So here's our questions. I told you at the end of each of these messages, I was going to give you some thought questions, some evaluation questions. This will be the slide that if you want to take a picture of it, we're going to try to memorize each of these commandments, and then if you can be thinking about these kinds of questions. Here it is. Is my speech characterized by reverence for God's name? Number two, have I become numb to the flippant use of God's name in my presence, digitally or with friends? And then number three, do I worship God with a sincere heart? In the book of Philippians, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he says this, we're going to finish with this verse. I wanted to kind of plant in your brain as we go. Paul says this: wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. There's going to be a day that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything under the earth, because his is the name that is above every name. It's been exalted above all other names. And the fact of the matter is that most of us, at least some of us, have allowed God's name to get kind of drugged through the mud of our language. And this morning, I think God's telling us, listen, my name's important because it represents my character. And the way that you live it out in your life and in your words is a reflection of who I am. Are you a good reflection of God's name? Let me ask you to bow your heads with me. I understand that language can be something that is such a big habit. Over the years, we learn terms and we hear them so often that it's easy for us to become careless. And so this morning, I believe that God's word has just brought us back to ground zero about the honor of God's name. And so I want to ask you this morning, have you personally, not your husband, not your wife, not your family, not your neighbor, not your coworker, you personally, has your life been a good reflection of God's name? In the words you use, the way that you live, the fulfillment of his life in yours. And if not, then today's, you know, the time right here as we sit under the teaching of God's word, this foundational idea of these Ten Commandments, to before God, ask for his forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. For some of you, it might be I've been taking your name in vain for years. With the words that I've said and the things I do, I've allowed your name to be degraded in my presence through my friends or watching TV, watching videos. But I didn't really realize how serious the situation was until now. But Lord, please forgive me. And if you'd help me, I would ask that the future would be different. That my mouth, my lips would be expressions of praise that would come from a treasured heart. And then my life could be a reflection of your glory, your goodness, and of your good name. Father, I pray that it would be so. I pray for these young people. Many of them have a lot of bad examples around them. And God, I pray that you'd help them to know that your name is holy and you care about how they would use it. So I pray that even now you'd change some hearts of some young people so that they would be good reflections of your name. I pray for some that are older. Got lots of men, lots of ladies in work situations that are difficult. And I pray they'd be good reflections of your name because it matters. I pray that you'd help us to be holy examples and that your name would truly be lifted up, would be glorified in our words, in our actions, and even what we would allow in our presence. And so we are thankful for your goodness to us, thankful for all that you've done for us, and we want your name to be known. Help us to do that as a church. Help us individually to be good reflections of that for your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.